Dentist offices in some states are reopening this week, but the experience of returning to the dentist's chair is anything but routine in the era of COVID-19. This week, the president of the New Jersey Dental Association warned that as many as 20% of the dentist's office in the state may have to close permanently. Across the country, dentist's offices that can reopen are doing everything they can to prevent the spread of the virus, from ultraviolet light to hydrogen peroxide rinses and an effort to minimize the risk. Dr. Ramesh Nalia is a clinical professor of dentistry at the University of Michigan, and he joins us now to talk more about visiting the dentist during a pandemic. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you.
Doctor, we know how important dental services are to our overall health, but do you think now is the right time for dentist's office to reopen?
I think now is a good time. I think that it was necessary, but for the last couple of months, we've been postponing routine care. And of course, that means that it's more likely that people will have urgent and emergency issues that need to be resolved.
How would you recommend dentists take on opening up their establishments as we enter these next phases of this pandemic? What changes to their workflow would you recommend, and some things that they need to consider as they think about opening?
So in terms of, you know, changes to workflows, there's a lot of products in dentistry that control aerosols. And before that was a matter of comfort for the patient and the operator. And now I think we've got to look at those as a safety measure. The other thing that we need to do is integrate social distancing into the work that we do. And so, of course, the work that we do is very, very intimate. And so, you know, that can't really change. But we can change our waiting rooms and the way that we wait. Some dental offices are already having patients wait in their car. And of course, we will change our PPE. Our personal protective equipment has changed forever with this pandemic.
I understand what you're saying, Doctor, but some dental hygienists have said they're worried about the idea that aerosols or tiny droplets produced during many of these dental procedures could transmit the virus. How can dentists and hygienists be safe while also being so close to patients' mouths?
Yeah, so that specific concern for hygienists is relatively easily resolved in that there's more than one way to clean teeth. The modern way using ultrasonic machines does create a large spray and aerosol, but more traditional methods with hand instruments do not. And so there is an old-fashioned alternative that is equally as effective. So I think that working in closable areas or areas where there is filtration is the best thing. And also, there are many dental products that can help to control aerosol. The problem is that these measures will increase the cost of care for dental offices. Mm-hmm. And when cost of care goes up, this becomes an access to care issue.
Okay. Yeah, the president of the Chicago Dental Society said this week that many dentists in his area are struggling to find adequate personal protective equipment. Are you confident that there's enough PPE to go around with so many dentists reopening this week?
Well, there is a global shortage of personal protective equipment, as we all know, and hospitals are being prioritized for the limited PPE that is there, and rightly so. But this imbalance between demand and supply, although it will eventually resolve, it means that initially we need to focus on urgent and emergency cases. It might be a little while before we can transition to routine care and cosmetic dentistry and things of that nature. I think that for smaller offices, so I'm at the University of Michigan School of Dentistry, of course, and for smaller offices, in many ways, it may be easier to pivot and deliver care in this new era. For us, it's quite complicated. For example, before the pandemic, on an average day, we would see close to 1,000 patients. And now we have to think through how to space people out in our building, space people out within the clinics. So I think that smaller offices, I can't say for sure, but I think that they would have an easier time pivoting and being able to move into care delivery in this post-pandemic world.
You mentioned it might be some time before we see, of course, cosmetic dentistry and maybe the regular checkups that we typically have every few months. But can you talk a little bit about the importance of those regular checkups to our overall health? It's something that many people may not consider, but as we look at the long haul of this pandemic and sheltering in place and how our lives are changing, I just would like to know from you, we can't put it off for too long. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And thanks for raising that concern, Tonya, because, you know, sometimes dentistry is sort of the forgotten cousin of overall health, but oral health is intimately connected to overall systemic health. And when we compromise oral health, we're compromising overall health. And that's really important because, you know, sort of every year, more and more studies come out showing an association between systemic health conditions and oral health. And one concern for me is that a common response to budgetary constraints at the state level is to cut dental Medicaid. It's always one of the first things to be cut in a financial crisis. However, we can't afford to do that because of oral health's impact on overall health.
That's Ramesh Nalia, a clinical professor of dentistry at the University of Michigan. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Tonya.